to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And in this epistle, oops, if I don't drop my Bible, we'll read verses 1 through 9. Part of this, if you were with us last week, you know that part of this is a refresher. But I want to read it just for context. So Galatians 3, begin at verse 1. It says, O foolish Galatians, who bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. This is the only thing I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things for nothing, if indeed it was for nothing? So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Verse 6. Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness, so know that those who are of faith, those are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, proclaimed the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. We'll take our text today from verses 6 through 9. And I want to, if I were to put a title on this message this evening, I would entitle it, Just as Abraham. Just as Abraham. As a recap, if you missed last week, in support of his gospel, Paul is appealing to the Galatian churches in a special way, that their experience of the grace of God through faith in Christ, that this experience, he appealed to them, he asked them those questions in verses 1 through 5. I didn't put this series online yet, but I plan to eventually. But in verses 6 through 9, as he continues this argumentation, it's a continuation of that thought, an appeal this time to the biblical account of Abraham's justification. And so he begins there, just as Abraham. You know, verse 5, as I mentioned, verses 3 through 5, those were all rhetorical questions. And in verse 5 particularly, he says, so then, does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? And as we mentioned last week, There's only one answer to that. It was by faith. They weren't saved. They weren't justified by the keeping of the law, and they weren't kept saved, and they weren't justified by the keeping of the law. There was no work that they could possibly do to merit God's favor. Even though this question that's asked by Paul is left to be supplied by the reader, he doesn't just leave it there. He continues on, standing on the authority of the Scriptures. And what he does with the churches of Galatia is, he says, just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Depending on which translation of the Bible you're using, this may be, you have a perhaps a footnote, or maybe the text there is written in all capital letters, but that believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. A lot of times the translators will indicate somehow that this is indeed a quote from the Old Testament. And that's what Paul is doing. In fact, he's quoting from the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6. Genesis 15 and verse 6 says, then he believed in Yahweh, and he counted it to him as righteousness. It's interesting to think about, but Paul himself, as he wrote this, he was using, no doubt, a translation of the Old Testament, the Greek Septuagint. He was using a translation of the Hebrew Scriptures in the Greek, and here it matches very, very well. The Hebrew, and it's reflected in the English. The New Testament and the Old Testament matches very well there. There are some times when you'll see a quote from the Old Testament in the New Testament, you'll notice some differences. You think, well, I wonder why it's so different there. The reason is that there was translation going on. In fact, just as a side note, the King James translators brought this up in their preface. Septuagint, by the way, it means 70. It says, the translation of the 70 dissenteth from the original in many places. Neither doth it come near for its perspicuity, gravity, majesty. Yet which of the apostles did condemn it? Condemn it? Nay, they used it. And so, that's something that's interesting as you study and you read and you say, well, why is it this way or that way? That's the reason. Even just like now, when we look at different English translations, sometimes there's a little bit of a difference. What Paul is saying here, though, is that even in the Old Testament, teaches that justification is by faith. That Abraham is proof of this, that there's no other way of salvation except through or by grace through faith. There are those who teach that the Old Testament saints were saved by the keeping of the law, but that's just not the case. Paul is appealing to the Old Testament to show that Abraham was saved the same way that we are, that he was justified the same way that we are. Go back there to that text there in Galatians chapter 3. Verse 7, so know that those who are of faith, those are sons of Abraham. Those who are of faith, those are sons of Abraham. Sons of Abraham, children of Abraham, those who are of faith. Jews as well as Gentiles. Now, in our culture, we might say, well, you've left out the daughters. What about the sons and daughters? No, no, this is all very important. We're counted as sons of Abraham, meaning that we're heirs of Abraham. Being a son had significance. And what he's saying is, all who are Jews, all who are Gentiles, who are believers in Christ, are so because they follow his example of faith. Let's skip down just a little bit and go to verse 28. We're not going to get there tonight, but eventually we will. But I want you to see this. Verse 28, he says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is no male and female. For you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to promise. And so your status, your ancestry, your physical ancestry, all of that, regardless of what you are now, is it important whether you're male or female? Absolutely. Is it important whether you're free or slave? Yes, that matters. All those things matter in this life. But understand, in Christ, none of that matters, you see. And Abraham, being in Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. Go over also to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Let's start with verse 9. Therefore, is this blessing on the circumcised or on the uncircumcised also? For we say faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it counted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while uncircumcised, so that he might be the father of all who believe without being circumcised, that righteousness might be counted to them, and the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who are also follow in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, which he had while uncircumcised. So that's how this all is being laid out. Is there a place? Biblical headship? Is there a place for the patriarchy? You know, people don't like that anymore. Is there a place for these things? Is the husband head of the house? Is the wife to submit to her husband? Yes, all of these things. Are pastors to be men and not women? Yes, all of that is true. But in Christ, a man has no advantage over a woman. The Jew has no advantage over the Gentile, you see. The master has no advantage over the slave. We're all in Christ. We're all heirs according to promise in Abraham. Abraham's seed. And as we wade into this portion of Scripture, understand something else. There are those who hold to what's known as replacement theology. This idea that says that the church has replaced Israel and that God is done with Israel. There's various forms of it, and I'm not going to get into all of those sorts of things today. But just know this, that is not what the New Testament is teaching. That's not what's being taught here in Galatians. That's not what's being taught in other portions of Scripture. With the Abrahamic covenant, God's promise that He made to Abraham, a great name and a great nation would come from him. Those things have been fulfilled historically. The nation of Israel, the physical nation, that is that nation. And so too, covenant blessings are now extended to the Gentiles because of Christ. That's what we're seeing in this text. And that is before us now, and those of us who are saved, we're experiencing those things. But that does not mean, beloved, that God is done with Israel as a nation. In fact, if you go back there to Genesis chapter 15, beginning with verse 18. On that day, Yahweh cut a covenant with Abram, saying, to your seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenite and the Kenizzite and the Kadmonite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Rephaim and the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Girgashite and the Jebusite. I love how the Legacy Standard Bible uses that, translates that there, to cut a covenant. From the translator notes, this is what they have. It says the phrase cut a covenant is a literal translation from the Hebrew. And while many translations opt to gloss this phrase with the simpler rendering like made a covenant, a literal rendering with cut helps call to mind what a covenant at that time entailed. In the ancient Near East, covenants were ratified by the two respective parties cutting animals in two and then together walking between the bloody severed halves. The significance of this practice is that each party is essentially saying that they may likewise be cut in two if they break their side of the covenant. The difference here is that Yahweh, presumably pictured in the oven and torch, passed between the animal pieces alone while Abram was in a deep sleep. If you back up to Genesis 15 and verse 12, this established a unilateral covenant which Yahweh alone was responsible to keep. By God's grace, there was nothing that Abram needed to do to keep the covenant in effect, nor was there anything he could do to jeopardize it. The dimensions of this land, and I love how they translated that. That brings that out so much. But anyway, the dimensions of this land promised to Israel here, it awaits future fulfillment. Obviously, this is not given to the church. It's not given to the Gentiles. This is for a specific people. And indeed, in Romans chapter 11, there's a great argument given that God has not cast away His people. The people of Israel, physical Israel, national Israel, but He has a remnant. Understand something. Not everybody who is a descendant of Abraham, not everybody who is a descendant Jacob and Isaac, not everybody who is a Jew today is going to be saved. Understand that. But there will be a remnant which will inherit the promises that were given. These spiritual promises, what we're talking about here in Galatians, you and I, we are included in them. In Galatians chapter 3, in verse 8, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, proclaimed the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. All the nations will be blessed in you. The Old Testament scriptures here are personified in such a way as having divine foresight. Really, it's God who does. And what He's telling us about, you know, this is God's Word. And He's quoting from Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3. So Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Abraham was given this promise. But how is it that all the nations would be blessed in such a way. How is it that all the families of the earth would be blessed through him? Well, because there was coming through his line one, Jesus. And in John chapter 8, beginning of verse 48. The Jews answered and said to him, "Do we not say rightly to you, do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan, have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. But I do not seek my glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death ever." The Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died and the prophets also, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste of death ever. Surely you are not greater than our father Abraham, who died. The prophets died too. Whom do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. You have not known him, but I know him, and if I say that I do not know him, I will be a liar like you, but I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, 'You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?' Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am.' Therefore they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple." The gospel was preached in the Old Testament. Adam and Eve heard the gospel message in the garden. Abraham heard the gospel. Others heard it. There are the types and the shadows, the scriptures that were written. How were these folks saved? Excuse me. They were looking forward to what was to come in faith. You and I, we look back at the finished work of Christ. Salvation has always, in every age, been by faith. Faith in what? Not faith in Abraham, not faith in our ability to keep the law, not faith in our genealogy of where we come from or anything like that, but faith in Christ. They looked forward. It was dim. As I said, types, shadows, figures. There were even times as Jesus was here on earth, and he told the apostles plainly what was to happen. They didn't quite understand about him dying on the cross and raising again the third day. There were some things that they didn't quite understand completely. But know this, they weren't saved by circumcision. They weren't saved by the keeping of the law. They weren't justified by the works of the flesh. None of those things. He said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it, was glad." The nations of the world would be blessed in Abraham. And indeed, they have been, haven't they? Through Jesus Christ. And as we go back to Galatians chapter 3, verse 9, "So then, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer," or literally, the believing Abraham. Whether Jew or Gentile, men and women, boys and girls of this world are blessed through Abraham. The Old Testament predicted that the Gentiles would indeed receive the blessings of justification by faith, as Abraham did. Those blessings are poured out all because of Christ, without the works of the law. No circumcision, nothing that you or I could do. Not even baptism or church membership or any of those things. Now, baptism, church membership, the reading of the Bible, all of those things, those are important. But none of it is going to get you into heaven. None of it will merit God's favor without Jesus Christ. You understand that? Where the churches of Galatia were going wrong is there were Judaizers that were coming in, and they were saying, "Well, we were all circumcised. We were all keeping the law. And now the Gentiles are being saved. And they're coming to Christ. They're wanting to join the church. They should be circumcised too. They should keep the law like we are in order to be saved, in order to get to heaven." And Paul's saying, "No, no. One could argue that there were benefits, maybe health benefits to circumcision, that there were health benefits to the dietary laws of the Old Testament, and there's liberty, as Paul does in other of his epistles. There's liberty in the keeping of the days and the Sabbaths and all of that. But it's just that. There's liberty in those things. None of it was ever for salvation. None of it was ever for justification. In fact, at our very best, the Bible says that our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We just don't have anything whereof we could merit God's favor. And so by the authority of Scripture alone, I can tell you, we bring this to a close, that whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, whether you're free or slave, whether you're a male or female, wherever you're at, rich or poor, doesn't matter. We're all saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. And that's what is being taught here. It's the way it is. Paul is writing this out to the churches of Galatia because the very gospel of Christ was at stake when these false teachers were coming in and teaching something radically different. We'll go ahead and stop there, and I trust that this has been a blessing to you. We've considered this portion of God's Word, Lord willing. Next time we'll pick up beginning at verse 10, and we'll carry on looking some more back into the Old Testament as well. Let's dismiss in prayer.